All right, why don't we go ahead and start to think about getting started? All right, well, I want to start off by welcoming everyone to the CSG Open Meeting. This is a meeting where anyone from the community is welcome to join us. We're going to start off by continuing our prep for the board meeting, which occurs immediately following this meeting. Then we'll be hearing from the SDAC, and I'm hoping that they'll present really some of the highlights and that we'll have a fair amount of time to do some Q&A. And then we'll continue with any remaining board prep that we need to do, and then we'll quickly go over to Petting, which is where the CSG board meeting will occur. Any questions or thoughts or comments? There are a couple of mics that are out in the audience here. I mean, normally we're not set up this way. Normally we're set up in a horseshoe, but a little bit different this time. So if you do have a question or a comment or want to share something, please do use the mic. This is being recorded and transcribed, and so it's important to speak into the mic so that they can get it for the transcript. Anything from Greg or Tony before we get started? Okay, let's dive right in. Brenda, if we could go to the slide that shows the three different lists of risks that each the IPC, the BC, and the ISPs had prepared and submitted. So I know that not everyone gets here over the weekend, and many of you may not have been at the meeting that the CSG had on Sunday, our closed meeting. In that meeting, we did some initial prep for our meeting with the board, and the plan is this. We will start off probably spending around 30 minutes or so sharing with them this slide. They have this slide. The slide will be shown. And essentially, the plan is for us to give some high-level thoughts on this slide. And those thoughts are this, that we prepared these, each of our groups prepared our list of top five enterprise risks. And this is, again, we're sharing this with the board because this is what the board risk group asked for. They wanted to know what our top five enterprise risks were for 2015. And so each of us went out into our individual constituencies, we prepared these lists, and this is essentially what we came up with after about a two-week period. When we talked about presenting this to the board, I think we may have thought that there could have been more similarities, but as you can see from these lists of risks, while there are some themes that carry over, they're actually quite unique in some respects. That said, you'll notice that on the list, that risks to the multi-stakeholder model are really a theme and an issue that all of us have concerns with in this coming year. And so essentially that's what we'll be presenting to the board, and then we will ask them for their thoughts and their questions, because essentially they had asked for us to prepare this and to present this. So we want to hear what their questions are for us. So that's the plan. Any thoughts or things that you want to make sure that I'm highlighting or presenting or positioning in a certain way? Steve? Oh, there's
Brent. Steve and Mike.
Thank you. I just had kind of a logistical question. I agree with your introduction to this. But will we then have a brief period for each constituency to present their list? That was kind of our expectation, and we've got someone prepared to do that. So I don't know if that was what everybody else thought.
That wasn't exactly where we were heading. We could do that. But I thought from where we left it the other day, the focus was going to be for Elisa as lead on this meeting to put the list up and really to turn it over to them rather than us walk through each of them. Let them pick the nuggets of what they want to discuss with us, but happy to do it either way, Steve. I thought it might be better to try and get some dialogue around the issues rather than us doing a presentation of each of them.
Yeah, but I was just thinking very briefly, but you may be right.
Okay.
I saw Tony, then Ellen.
Just curious about the first bullet point for the VC, multi-stakeholder model, if there's any, exactly what that would be addressing or what the concept would be.
Yeah, so, you know, that's an opportunity. If they ask us about that, that's an opportunity for us. Our explanation was actually quite lengthy, and I wanted to keep this to one slide. But it's risks to coming from marginalized groups. It's risks to – it's similar to some of these other ones that are up there. It's risk of capture. It's risk of overrepresentation by governments. There's a whole category of items that we think pose potential risk to the multi-stakeholder model. Now, they've received – just so everyone knows, they've received these sort of big categories, and then each of us also sent to them probably a paragraph worth of explanation. So they didn't just get something that says multi-stakeholder model. There's actually a paragraph that goes with it, and they've already received that. Ellen?
Is this on? Thank you. I thought we were going with what I'll call the Jonathan Zook model, which is saying the top 3 points that this would be up so they could see, but not that each constituency would do, and that we would frame it with the 3 takeaways we'd hope to do it, and I, for one, would love it if Jonathan, with his wonderful voice, was the one who did that. But I don't want us to backslide to talking about all of these, discussing all of these, and getting lost in that again.
Yeah, so I thought that's what I had just done when I said, you know, this is the list that we had come up with and that we had been asked to prepare them, and that although there are some threads of commonalities, that there are three, there's in particular, for all 3 of us, we're very concerned with risk to the multi-stakeholder model. And that's what we had talked about as sort of the 3 bullets.
Yeah, I would, for user-friendly sake, label the 3. We want you to walk away with 3 things. 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
This is Jay Scott. I agree.
And so, just so we're all clear and we are on the same page, the 3 bullets are... 1, we basically were asked to provide this list, and we did this in a relatively short period of time. 2, although there are some commonalities, you can see that there are some quite distinct differences, and that 3, there is definitely a concern across all 3 of the constituencies that there are risks to the multi-stakeholder model.
Much clearer.
Okay. Okay. I can do that. Other thoughts?
I'm sorry, you have a good voice too. I didn't mean to.
Other thoughts or other things we want to make sure that we get across? Well, we could be flying through this meeting if it continues at this rate, which would be great.
A question, not necessarily a suggestion, is whether we and. It would be diluting our message to point out any of the other commonalities, kind of the 2 out of 3 points, or just wait for the dialogue to see if it develops in that way. And, for instance, if they say something about security, point out that both the ISPs and the BC express that, but not kind of muddy our message with plurality-type issues. I'm not advocating one or the other, and I see Steve's hand is up.
Steve?
Mike.
The mic.
Yeah, I don't... I get it that there's not support for each group presenting its own, which is fine. But maybe just at the end, because I'm wondering, you know, we'll put this out there, and I'm hoping there will be some dialogue. So we should at least invite them to, if they want more detail, we can go through it individually. Or if they have questions about specific ones, then we have a bit of a traffic cop issue about who answers that. But I guess we'll deal with that depending on what they ask about. So, I think for the IPC, we've talked about Brian making the presentation if there is a presentation, but presumably also if there's a question about an IPC, something in the IPC, you know, what do you mean by this, then that could be directed
okay.
to Brian.
I don't know that we necessarily have go-to people in the BC, but I'll just rely on people to respond if they feel that they want to. Jonathan? I think it's already on.
Good. Is it on?
It is.
This is more of a question, but this dance has been going on for a very long time. I just wondered whether any of the constituencies have sat down and decided what, if anything, they're going to do if these concerns are not answered?
Well, I don't think we're really looking, this is my personal opinion, I don't think we're actually looking for an answer. They asked us to provide to them our top five enterprise risks, and I think we're just here to explain what we think the top risks are and why we think they're a risk. I don't know that we're looking for them to give us any sort of answer at all.
So you're not expecting any action?
No.
On any of these? It's just an exercise in lists?
Yeah. Well, they had requested this, and I know in the BC we spent a fair amount of time actually culling this and trying to understand it, which, and I think, was a valuable exercise. And I think we do want them to understand what we think the top concerns are. But I don't think we're asking them to respond necessarily.
Okay.
Ellen? Ellen, Greg, and Marilyn?
I think Jonathan's question, though, is an important one. I don't think we're expecting them to respond in our meeting, nor do I think that there should be any kind of threatening, well, these are doing, and if you don't do something about them, we're going to do I don't know what. But I do think that Jonathan's putting on the table an important long-term question, which is, okay, you asked us.
Yeah, what are the next steps?
What are the next steps?
Yeah.
And I think that should be in the plan.
Yeah. Let's see. Greg, the Maryland.
Thank you. Kind of following on what Jonathan said and looking at it from a slightly different angle, I think that providing the board with a list of enterprise risks in a year when enhancing ICANN's accountability is a front and center topic shouldn't be lost. I think that we should note that if we're giving you a list of risks and people are talking about accountability, there's a linkage, to say the least, and that in a time of that we need to – one part of giving you this list is not just for you to file it away, but that this is a list that we as stakeholders would be holding you accountable for in the grand scheme, whatever that means on a granular ground level. That's a different question, but this list should be viewed in the context of accountability. I guess that would be the soundbite for me.
Marilyn?
Thanks. Marilyn Cade speaking. I think this actually grew out of our request and comments to the community's request and comments to the strat plan that they take input from the community on what the risks and threats are to ICANN. Because they're spending money on certain activities. So it wasn't a direct request, but in feedback, we've very often been at the microphone as the BC, others have, the SEC has, et cetera, talking about where the risks lie. So to follow on, Greg, to your comment, I think there is a linkage. The other thing I would just point out, if you're online, you may want to go take a quick look at who the board members are that are on the risk committee. They're heavily from the technical liaisons.
Jonathan.
I guess my point was...
Oh, maybe just for the transcript? No, but you need a mic.
My voice isn't booming enough? My goodness.
It's for the
being
transcript.
Recorded, so.
It's being recorded. Uh-oh, I take it all back. ultimately, and I say this just as an academic exercise, the risk, it seems to me, or the primary risk, that's kind of the elephant in the room, is that one or more of the constituencies may finally decide that they're fed up with being marginalized and start to look for other options for getting what they're getting than being part of this multi-stakeholder group. Now, I don't know what those options are. Some people are exploring them. Some aren't. But I think to leave it on, I mean, I don't think that it's a time to threaten. I don't mean it that way. I don't think it should be a threat. But in fact, there's an underlying truth that there's a point at which volunteers and other people are going to say to themselves, this isn't worth it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not being listened to, or I have to struggle so hard, and I have like 12 people doing all the heavy lifting, and no matter what I do, I'm up against what I consider to be a weighted or unfair voting system, and I can't get the certain circles, and blah, blah, blah. What the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
And I think that to leave that unexpressed in some way may be an error, because Greg put it. I didn't think I had to say it, but I'm glad he did. This is a time to do something about this. If there's ever a time to redress some of the I think, mistakes that were made going all the way back to ICANN 2, 2003. This is it. I don't know if it'll happen, but I think this is your chance.
Well, I'm assuming they're probably going to ask us more about what we think the risks are to the multi-stakeholder model. And I think those comments, you know, are definitely related, that if, you know, people are not feeling that the model is working and that they're considering looking elsewhere. We also have bullets about volunteer burnout and the fact that there's marginalization. And, I mean, it's kind of a thread and a string. And for me, I think, you know, that kind of ties in. I'm sure they're going to be asking us some questions about those types of issues. And I think that would be the time that we would probably respond. Other thoughts, ideas, questions? Are we comfortable with this approach? So one thing I will definitely do, so I will go through those three points, but I will also ask them the question, you know, now that we've gone through this exercise, it would also be helpful to understand what your next steps are. Other things that folks want to make sure that I position or cover in any particular way? Okay, let's move on to the sort of second part. So this, I anticipate, will be about 30 minutes or so. There is a second part where each of us will be presenting a hot topic. And again, this goes back to the fact, and we appreciate that Fadi recognizes the differences between our three constituencies. And as a result, we're, you know, approaching this meeting a little differently than we've done in the past, in that we'll each be bringing to the table our own sort of hot topic or topic area that we're interested in speaking to and letting you know about, board. So I'll start off with the ISPs in terms of your hot topic. Maybe if you can just share the hot topic. I think the idea is it's something we would spend like maybe no more than 5 minutes just saying what the topic is and allowing the board to ask some questions. So this will account for approximately another 30 minutes. Tony?
Okay, I think in terms of order, it may be best if the ISPs go last on this one. And the reason I say that is because we've actually got some good news. And obviously we prepare our issues in front. And for us, it was universal acceptance. We came into this meeting really concerned about this, that it wasn't getting the focus, it wasn't getting the attention. And we heard the other day from a number of board members in a couple of forums that they just hate Tuesdays because they have this continual parade of constituencies and groups going in, telling them their problems and looking for a fix. And they seem to be under the impression that we look to them towards the fix all the time. What's happened here since we've been here is that we've actually had, as ISPs, a number of conversations with other parties, registries, registrars. We're also looking to get the ALAC involved. We've had ICANN staff involved. And there was a discussion yesterday afternoon on universal acceptance. We've actually got a work plan that most of it's been generated with ICANN staff and support, but generated by the community. And we can actually come along today and say, we've moved forward. We're not coming in here from where we started this discussion, which was major concern. There isn't enough focus, isn't enough happening. And the community have worked together to fix that. So I'd like to leave this particular CSG session with the board on a positive note. And I think for once we can go along and do that. So on that basis, I would suggest that we go last.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Since I'm talking so much, it would be nice to turn it. I'm sure people will be tired of hearing me. Maybe I can turn it over to the IPC.
Sure. Actually, Steve has been nominated to be our hot topic deliverer.
The mic.
Jonathan.
Thank you. I just love this setup here, isn't it? It's great. Yeah, first of all, I just want to say I think it is important when we introduce the hot topics, not only to say this is, you know, this was Fadi's idea of how to structure this, but also to say we're not necessarily asking for board action on any of these, but just to share with you what some of the things are that we're concerned about. And I think the way I would summarize our concern is it's about compliance, which is certainly something the board is used to hearing from the IPC about. I think we've raised it at almost every meeting. But it's somewhat different now. It's a bit more focused on the problem of lack of transparency in the compliance activities. We now have new provisions in the RAA 2013 version and in the registry agreement with the new GTLDs that we think are very important for responding to illegal activity, abusive activity that takes place using domain names that are registered by those registrars or part of those registries. And we're finding a lot of difficulty understanding what ICANN in the compliance function believes those provisions require. We're seeing some cases where ICANN is issuing breach notices based on inadequate response by registrars, for example, but we don't know what the response was that they found inadequate. We're also aware of cases where abusive activities have been brought to the attention of the registrars. They do nothing. It's a complaint is filed with ICANN, and ICANN dismisses the complaint saying that the registrars did enough, and we don't know that the registrars did anything. So it's a black hole, and that serves neither the contracted parties, who also are left to kind of make up what they think these contractual provisions mean, and it certainly affects us as non-parties to the contract who depend on strong and clear guidance from the compliance team in order to know what we can do to use these contractual provisions to deal with this huge problem of abuse. So that's an example of the lack of transparency in compliance that we're concerned about. It's not the only example. There are other examples that also deal with new GTLDs and with significant changes in new GTLD policies that are contrary to what's in their applications, but have never been disclosed, have never been subject to public comment. There's a lack of transparency there also. So it's not the typical complaint that we are bringing of, you know, you need more compliance people, they need to be doing more, it's more qualitative that we don't have any insight into how they're interpreting the contract, and we need to have that insight. So that's okay. Basically our hot topic.
Thanks, Steve. Any questions, comments, thoughts for Steve? Okay. So from the business constituency, our hot topic is around all of the remaining open new GTLD issues. And specifically, you know, we have concerns. Again, I think I'll phrase it like you did, that, look, we're not really asking for answers today. We just want to share with you what our concerns are. And they are around things like the public interest commitment specification and the fact that there are many highly regulated strings. Some have already been allowed to be delegated. Others are in the wings. And we're uncomfortable with the fact that there's not more uniformity in terms of what is required from those highly regulated strings. We have concerns around sunrise periods and the lack of sunrise periods for reserve names. When they come off those reserve names lists, they're never subject to sunrise, nor are they subject to claims periods. We're concerned about issues of sort of inconsistent sunrise periods where they may not even be occurring at all. So these are just a sampling of the new GTLD issues. And I think, you know, some may say, well, we're sort of past new GTLDs, but the fact is we're not. And some of these issues probably won't come to light until later this year, and we'll probably continue to see all kinds of new GTLD issues. Ellen.
Well, I appreciate that everybody keeps framing the introductions to what you want to say, Steve and Elise, and saying, well, we're not expecting your answers today, but this is our hot topic. We want you to know it. I agree with Jonathan and with what Greg said. Don't let them off the hook. You can say, this is our hot topic. We're not expecting your answers today, but we are expecting answers, and this is the accountability year. This is the time we're looking. We're giving these to you so that you can think about, but don't think that we're just saying we don't expect answers today and we're just laying them out. Don't give them a free ride.
Okay. I think we can be clear that we can't get answers today, frankly, because we don't have time in this
particular. No, I understand that. I'm saying you can say we're not unreasonable. We want you to understand these are concerns. They are continuing concerns.
Yeah.
We don't expect answers today, but we are expecting answers.
Okay.
This is a piece of a dialogue, in other words.
Yeah. So any thoughts, or particularly from BC members, because I know that we put this together rather last minute, things that you want me to make sure that I'm including when we bring this hot topic up? No, nothing? It's okay. Okay. Well, if you think of something, catch me before we go over there, and I'll do my best. Tony? Oh. Sorry, Greg?
I guess on the BC's hot topic, one thought, and I think this came up in the intersessional, and it actually kind of relates to the compliance topic as well, is that we're noticing a lot, you know, what we think are a number of sharp advantages being taken of various loopholes in there, and they aren't contractual compliance. So if we talk to compliance about it, they say not our job, we can't enforce something that's not in the contract, and you know there was no, you know, we couldn't control prices. So if somebody wants to charge $300,000 for a domain name, you know, come right out of the gate, you know, that's fine. But and that's only one example. But there is this issue of going into the second round. You know, we need to help identify those loopholes where, you know, the marketplace has been left with the kind of Casbah-like atmosphere where you can, you know, walk into a shop and leave in your underwear.
And we actually have talked about the fact that those loopholes exist and that from a contractual perspective, there's nothing, unfortunately, that can be really done. So I think we'll mention that as well.
Which is why it's not a compliance issue, but it is a new GTLD
issue. It is a new GTLD issue, specifically with sort of the predatory pricing.
And I guess I would just also say Alan Grogan is not supposed to be just in charge of compliance, but also consumer safeguards, which to my mind, thinking about the FTC, goes beyond contractual compliance, yet there's nobody in the consumer safeguards space, in the seat. There's a job, but it's not filled. So this also goes to the issue of how far, you know, are they supposed to go to be a watchdog on all of these loopholes.
Yeah. I think, do we have somebody on the line that has a question?
Yes. One moment. Okay, we have a comment. Ann Aikman-Scalise would like to comment. ALAC just told the board that compliance is insufficiently proactive. In their view, compliance is reactive. And also has a question: do we need to anticipate that the board may ask us to define capture? And another comment from Ann is: ALAC asked the board to freeze all GTLDs. GAC safeguard categories 1 through 8.
Okay, so I think, so BC didn't talk, I don't think the BC talked about capture per se. But I see the IPC did, so if they do ask about that, I'll turn that over to the IPC to address. In terms of the safeguards, that's sort of, I'm not sure when Ann asked the question, but that is a concern that the BC has, is basically the fact that the GAC, the ALAC, and we all asked for them to review that particular issue. And I already now forgot her third question.
Third comment is ALAC asked the board to freeze all GTLDs.
Oh, yeah. That's basically we signed on and also asked for the same thing. So we're raising that as our hot topic.
Thank you.
Tony, and then...
Okay, just a quick word. I wasn't sure what you were actually asking earlier, but just so everyone is aware. I mean, I mentioned we're going to be positive about the progress that's been made. And I'm going to turn over to Tony and Christian to actually say a few words about that. The only thing we're asking them for is their continued commitment in the way that they've engaged with the community on this. So that's the only ask that's coming.
Okay. Let's see. I think we have 2 minutes before we're scheduled to hear from the SSAC. Tony, were you going to go ahead and...
You want me to say something about
that? Not particularly now. I'm making the point that I'm turning over to you and Christian when we have the session with the board to actually amplify that, because you've both been actively engaged in that process.
Any other thoughts, comments, questions? Marilyn, we have just a minute, and then we're going to turn it over to the SDAC.
Thank you, Marilyn. Kate speaking. We're experiencing a different approach in how we're operating this particular session with the board. We all, some those of us who were here heard the board agreeing with us that Tuesdays are not working. Are we prepared to comment on that if that question is raised with us today? Or is it something that we would want to say we need to come back, talk further with our constituencies? That's question one. Question two, or maybe it's a statement very quickly. The drinks with the board, and I'm not suggesting we approach it, but the drinks with the board Sunday night turned out to be probably not what our members expected, and maybe there we could take that up separately offline with staff to make sure that we have a more attendance, et cetera, from the board.
I actually just want to respond to that quickly. A lot of people were confused by the reception that was held in the Ben Coolin foyer, which is on the way to the SB foyer where we were, and there were more board members, and I think, although I wasn't there, more CSG members in the Ben Coolin fellowship cocktail. So basically everyone got confused. So this is not about malice aforethought. It's just about people finding the first bar that they walk into.
And to answer your other question, I'm not prepared. I don't think we're prepared to talk about what the format should be in the future. Well, I want to thank both Patrick and James for joining us. I think we have about a half an hour, and I think we wanted to do something a little bit different, and that was to keep it a little bit more interactive and have more Q&A. But I think also if you can provide us with some information about what you think we should be most interested in and what's of greatest concern sort of to commercial stakeholders. I know that's a big question, but I know you can do it.
Thank you very much. So there should be slides here somewhere.
I don't know that we received any slides.
Yeah, you have got slides. Okay, never mind. So regarding what I think you should be interested in, let's start from the beginning. There are people here that don't know us. We are the what is normally called SSAC or SAC, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. We're one of the advisory committees here in ICANN, and we advise ICANN board, other constituencies, and the community on various security, stability, and resilience issues. We're a close group. We are now 34 members, and they are appointed on 3-year terms. We write advisories, which include recommendations to the various groups that we choose to address the recommendations to, and we have currently written 69 reports during our lifetime. We write between 5 and 8 reports a year, approximately. At the moment, we are looking into a couple of things that are related to what I think business and more commercial activities. We are looking into what is called
what is the PSL? What does it stand for now?
Public suffix lists.
Public suffix lists, which are various lists that are used by web servers and mail servers to judge how high the risk is that a domain name is in use for various malicious activities. We also look into the next round of GTLDs by going through our advisories and see what have been effective, what have been implemented or not. And the goal there might be to come up with a list of things that we think must be done before moving into the next round. It's also the case that we are looking into various other kind of SSR-related activities related not only to domain names but also IP addresses and the routing system. We're also looking into the overall architecture for WHOIS. And specifically, we are at the moment, and that is specifically Ben, you can raise your hand, stand up. Is working, one of our ESSAC members here in the room is working with the credential management lifecycle. So we are gathering information about various incidents or issues that you have had or best current practices that you have discovered regarding credential management. Because as we all know, there have been some issues and incidents with both registries, registrars and registrants having issues and have had break-ins and bad passwords and password management systems and whatnot. So we would like to get more information, more contact with those of you who are interested in talking about that. And when we now ask for information, let me also clarify that we in ESSAC, we do have an ability, we do have a disclosure policy, which means that we do have an ability to receive information from you that we are not passing on further. So it's completely up to you who provide us with information on whether the information is only to be used by ESSAC to make sure that the documents we write are more informed, all up to acknowledging you and also describing the specifics of the incidents or whatever describing. It's completely up to you, so we have that ability. We have been looking quite a lot about the IAM transition issues and written 3 documents. One is what the IANA functions actually is doing. The second one, what the contract between Department of Commerce and ICANN is covering, which is a different thing. And the third document that we just released includes a number of recommendations for ESSAC to the operational communities when they are producing suggestions for the IANA transition. So regarding the IANA transition issues, we in ESSAC, yes, we are chartering organization for both the CWG on naming and the CCWG on accountability, and we do have representatives in the CWG on naming, not in accountability, but apart from that, we think that we have sort of done our job regarding that. So over to your questions. That's approximately where we are. So over to your question, what do we think you should be interested in? Well, it's actually pretty important for us that you choose yourself what you are interested in. What we can do is that we can provide some guidance regarding some specifics that you might not have been thinking about, like the credential management, etc. But it's your choice how interested you are, and we are trying to, for example, regarding credential management and the PSL, in those two areas, we are trying to make your life easier by, in our documents, producing best current practices and other things that will make it easier for you to be interested in those topics, but it's your choice. So the important thing for us, I would like to turn this around, I'm sorry to say, that when we are writing our documents, we really want to write documents on topics that people, the audience, which are you, are interested in. So one of the things that we have had some issues with the last couple of years is that we don't get any information from you on what you're interested in. We don't get any questions from you. You must be concerned on SSR issues. Please start ask us questions. Thank you.
Microphone here.
Hi, Kat McGowan with LinkedIn. I have a question for you. You mentioned, I guess, some risks as they relate to cybersecurity in terms of businesses and what we face. Have you noticed or have you done any studies looking at phishing or sort of cybersecurity issues and whether those risks have increased or the number of reports have increased, specifically as they relate to new GTLDs being delegated and coming online?
So this is to be able to answer this, I would like to have the ESSAC members in the room to stand up, please. Okay, so you see there are quite a large number of them here. So
it's in the back. Perfect.
Yeah. So specifically now when you talk about, don't sit down, Rod. Okay, specifically when you're talking about phishing, this is one of those kind of things to explain to you that we in ESSAC, we use our individual members also network to so we are not duplicating, sometimes we are summarizing. And Rod is very active, one of the people in ASAC that are very active in the anti-phishing working group. So Rod is the one that is sort of keeping track of what's happening with phishing. So ASAC have not felt that we should do any specific work regarding phishing. On the other hand, we keep ourselves informed, and we have a lot of good like interaction with them. So Rod is the one that you should talk to regarding specific phishing activities. And you said also the changes and trends. That's at the moment our source for that. Thank you, Rod. Rod, do you want to say a few words? Yeah. Can we get a microphone back there, or should Rod come forward? I don't know how it works.
Get a mic.
Okay, Rod is coming forward.
But there's a mic. There are mics in the audience.
Rod. Thanks. So, anti-phishing working group. I'm actually wearing a shirt today too. So we do Greg Aaron, who's also on SAC, and I, and a couple other folks in the APWG, every 6 months do a phishing trends report. And the new GTLD launch is one of the things we are tracking quite closely. We have data from the last half of last year. There's some interesting things in there, but we haven't done the analysis yet, so I can't say specifically. But there's definitely some interesting things, so we'll put it that way, within the new GTLD space, which we'll be publishing, probably shooting for April timeframe, I think, on that. And then I see a few people here who are involved in the APWG as well, but if anybody wants to know more about that or be involved, talk to Greg or I. We'd be happy to help you with that.
Thank you very much.
I think Jimson has a question.
Thank you, Patrick and team. I'm interested in the internal security processes. Is it said that charity begins at home? In view of the security breach that was reported during the intersessional, so what is ESSAC doing in ensuring that it's remediated, and what role are we playing in ensuring that it doesn't repeat itself?
So it's quite important to know what ESSAC is not doing. And there are specifically two things that we in ESSAC are not doing. First of all, we are not interfering or have anything to do with ICANN corporate security and IT. That's a separate group. Let me start with that. We do have good cooperation with them. And sometimes, of course, the issues that ICANN corporate have are things that everyone have, and from that perspective, it might overlap. But so the first thing we're not dealing with is ICANN corporate security issues. The second thing that we don't do is that we do not actively participate in operational security, which are sort of ongoing activities, or because that is handled by the CERTs and the various trust communities that already exist in the world. ESSAC in general, instead, make recommendations of what should be done, what communities, what entities, what whoever can do, software developers, what changes should be made in policies to not repeat what has happened. So change cycle, we are data gathering after incidents, we're drawing conclusions, coming with recommendations, and then in the next round we might see whether those recommendations had an effect, and we might produce, like, in the next cycle, updated recommendations to get a higher effect. So, and that's why, for example, we are working together with Rod, as you just heard, that are looking into what kind of, and that's also the way we are looking at the potential next round of new GTLDs, where we are looking at what kind of effect our recommendations have had, what recommendations we forgot, what recommendation we gave that actually had no effect, etc. So that is where that's where we are most effective, we think.
Karen.
Hi, this is Karen from. This is Karen from Mark Monitor at Thomson Reuters. I heard yesterday that there will be a call for volunteers in June of this year for the SSR2 AOC review. I'm probably one of the people who's slightly ignorant about how I might get involved in ESSEC and SSR issues, although I do recognize the global importance of it to our clients and our organization. I was wondering if maybe then you could help me shed some light on whether it would be useful for some of us in this group to volunteer for that, and what areas of interest in particular we should focus on and maybe prepare for in volunteering for that review.
So, Jim Galvin, I'll give a two-part answer. The first thing is to answer specifically the question of getting involved in the SSR review. You know, I mean, that's an ICANN staff function, and they'll put out a call for volunteers, and one should certainly do that and put your name in and work that process itself. But I think a little bit of behind your question was getting involved in ESSEC and ESSEC's role in that review. And if you want to apply to be a member of ESSEC, that's a separate process, and we actually have a separate membership committee and an application process. And anyone is certainly eligible to put their name in and submit a request to want to join. And, you know, then there's a natural process that'll take place. You'll be asked to submit a CV and a statement of interest, and you'll go through an interview process. There's a committee of five people. As vice chair, I'm a non-voting chair of the membership committee of ESSEC. So if anyone is interested in joining ESSEC, I'm happy to talk to you about that and direct you to sending a message to Julie Hedlund, who is one of our staff people who manages that process. So does that answer your question?
I guess also that's helpful information. I'm kind of wondering what the ESSEC's role is in that review, first of all, and then what our role would be in supporting the ESSEC, either as members of our individual constituencies or if you want to be a member of the ESSEC. I'm not sure a lot of us have the bandwidth to join another organization, but if I know Fadi mentioned that, it was nice to hear that everybody knows that we're burnt. But how we might support ESSEC in their role in that review, if there is a role for ESSEC in that review, seems all connected to me. If that's a misunderstanding, then help me correct that. But I think that the security issues are increasingly important, and I see many opportunities and avenues to get involved, the review being one of them, and I think that might be a little bit easier than joining the advisory committee completely. So just some looking for some basic guidance on that.
Yes, to continue what Jim said, I completely agree that we cannot join all groups, like each one of us, and just like myself personally do believe that you here in this constituency do a really good job. I don't feel that I have to be here. I hope that you trust me trying to keep track of ESSEC and doing the right thing. So we to be able to offload, we need to, like, each one do what we do the best. That said, that increases the requirement that we actually do communicate and keep in sync, because if you work on something from your perspective and you just sort of believe that we in ESSEC are looking at the SSR issues related to the same topic, I think we need to communicate better to, at least I know that because that's what we've been talking about. We need to communicate better so we actually are sure that we actually do cover sort of the different grounds to come up with the whole picture. Whether that is succeeding or not, that is like more like an audit process. That's more what SSR is. And yes, we in ESSEC do participate in those reviews, and we are specifically, because it's part of our charter, we are actually chartered by the ICANN bylaws to keep track of very specific SSR issues regarding names, numbers, and other parameters. So we are bound by the bylaws to really carefully participate and also act upon the recommendations from the SSRs, and that's what we have done. And this is also one of the reasons why ESSEC was probably one of the first, if not the first, SONAC that actually did our review, and according to earlier reviews of ICANN, according to not only the SSRs, but everything that is covered under the affirmation of commitment. So for us, that's really fundamental.
Kat?
Oh. Hi, Hi, Kat McGowan with LinkedIn again. I have another question, this one with respect to name collision. I'm just curious, kind of anecdotally, how things have changed since the loopback address went live in August of last year in terms of just name collision issues in general.
First of all, yeah, the answer is yes. I think this is one of the areas where we in SAC are looking at things like Rob said, a compilation of the actual what we see regarding phishing and what we see regarding traffic. We don't. I think that no one in the industry do have enough data yet to actually be able to draw any conclusion. That said, this is one of the cases where SAC gave a different recommendation than what ICANN decided to implement. And this is also one of those areas where we in SAC do believe, I would not be surprised, and you would probably be either, if both SAC and non-SAC parties in ICANN is going to evaluate really carefully what happened, what the issues were, what SAC recommendations were, what recommendations from others were, what effect the actual implemented mechanism had. So I think you will see quite a number of evaluations of that. But to some degree, we don't even have the data to sort of start that evaluation yet. So yes, I do think that things have changed, but we don't know what yet.
Susan, then Tony.
I wanted to add on to Jimson's point and the operational security. And I know that's, you were pretty clear that wasn't something you were doing. But it appears that the attack, and this is just information sort of gleaned here and there, on ICANN was extremely similar to attack that was on eBay, in which they, were the domain manager's account was complete, email account was completely compromised. The same attack was tried on Facebook. Luckily, that was not successful. And there's a very interesting read about Forbes.com. They, outside forces are concentrating their activities and learning each time, which is a little concerning. I'm very concerned, even though VeriSign is an amazing company and very safe, but with each step the bad guys take, they're learning from it. So it seems that as an organization that supports ICANN, that you should also take the time and the resources to look into this.
So let me, regarding this specific attack on ICANN, let me assure you that we in SAC, we are keeping ourselves informed over what happened in very close communication with ICANN security and IT team. Keeping ourselves informed from that is, as I said, we are keeping ourselves informed over what happened there, just like we do with other enterprises that are happy to have close communication with us, which, of course, in many cases includes the enterprises that happen to have employees that also are SAC members. So we're not treating that differently. That said, if it is the case, this is one of those cases where, for example, if the business constituency, for example, if you believe that the incident at ICANN might have some kind of implications to the overall internet management of parameters, which are according to SAC charter, and you would like SAC to have a look into that from that perspective, which is different from ICANN Enterprise under the bylaws and incorporated, the normal requirements you have as a company there, in that case, please ask us that question. This is one example where a direct question from the communities, and the more precise the question is, the easier it will be for us to answer that question.
Tony?
Patrick, one of the things that you're aware of is the fact that universal acceptance is something that's pretty close to all ISPs' hearts. And I know that your committee is aware of the issues around that. And some of the activities that are now spawning from the discussions we've had here. There was a meeting yesterday. I think some of your members were there. And there is going to be an initiative to address this. But one of the questions I have is that from that, there's probably going to be a need, as we gather data that's coming out, to look at probably providing some information on best practice to other parts of the industry. And I wondered whether that is something that you'll be able to respond to as ESSAC if that comes up, because I know you have a very focused approach, and the way that you undertake your work are studies which you identify and some that the community identify. Is the current thinking that any input we require on that from within ICANN would come from the personal engagement of any of your members, or will you be looking to address that as a group? And do you have the capability to respond within the timeframes that will require?
Both, or all three. First of all, we in ESSAC, in some cases, or in quite a large number of cases, for example, regarding who is, we are trying to come up with recommendations on how the community should untangle the problem and attack the problem to be able to come to a conclusion, which means that we in ESSAC do very much believe in the multi-stakeholder model. So it's the multi-stake community that should decide what the outcome should be. That said, we could come with suggestions, for example, with the taxonomy that we came up with for WHOIS, come up with some suggestions on how the program should be addressed so to come to some conclusions. So regarding the universal acceptance issues, I think we in ESSAC, we have already come up with a number of different recommendations that we don't feel have been addressed yet, specifically related to internationalized domain names, variants, the management of character set, the non-synchronization of how comparisons are done in the TMCH with the variant discussion, etc., which means that those are issues we have already pointed out. So from our perspective, we don't feel any need to point them out again. And those are sort of part of the overall universal acceptance issue, if you see what I mean. So we are more doing the building blocks, as you say. That's how ESSAC do the most effective work. We work on very specific issues. And then there might be very well individuals of ESSAC that participate in the work that refer and point to the result of ESSAC as a whole. So to answer your question regarding whether ESSAC can do anything in the more generic overall thing with variants, no, I don't think we can do an effective job there, and I think it's better for the community to work together. But we could very well maybe work on some more building blocks there, I don't know. But that's normally how it has these kind of large issues have been attacked before.
Tony? See the microphone?
Yeah, Patrick, this was extremely interesting because we're, as a constituency, we're heavily involved in the Universal Acceptance Steering Group, as it's called, the UAESG. Can we count on your group in some way supporting this? Because I think we will need your help in going forward with this initiative.
Yeah, absolutely. For example, the work that we currently do with the public suffix list, that's one of the key things for universal acceptance. And as you see in the slides when you're looking at the slides, we do have in timeline to release that report, I think even now the first quarter, maybe it's the second quarter of this year. It's also the case that we have released these and repeated our statements regarding TMCH and variants, but specifically the PSL is something that I think is something that you can use in your work, yes.
Other questions, thoughts, comments? Steve.
Thank you. Steve Metalitz with the IPC. I see in the slides that were flying through there, but that you sent over, that there's a work party on new GTLDs that's part of your ongoing work. Could you or someone on the committee talk a little bit about that? And I'm thinking in terms of the IPC, we're trying to collect data about some aspects of the new GTLDs, particularly the rights protection mechanisms, and feed them into the review process that's underway. How could you just talk a little bit more about what ESSAC will be looking at in this work party and how we might be able to collaborate? Thank you.
So to expand a bit on what Patrick had said earlier, What ESSAC is doing in that work party is we're going back over the recommendations that we have produced over the past few years that are all related to new GTLDs and the program. And we are looking at the actions that have taken, that have been taken, as a result of those recommendations. And an action in this case includes the possibility that, you know, it was rejected or ignored. You know, I mean, as long as it was a decision, a decisive point at, by the community that it was directed to. Our goal is to collect those set of those recommendations and review them and consider if the action that resulted, if we agreed with it, or if we, you know, might want to suggest something additional, perhaps, you know, tweak our recommendation a bit, given that obviously many things were happening in real time, if you will, as this program was rolling out. And so much has changed in the way that it's managed and it runs. And in the end, when we're done with that review, we may or may not produce a document. If there's something to say, then we will say something about, you know, this recommendation should be revisited, the actions that were taken. We might highlight recommendations that have not yet been acted on. There are actually a few that are still outstanding. And I think the most specific thing that we will do if we do have recommendations this time around, since there have been, you know, complaints over the years about some of the recommendations and whether or not, you know, they were required to be completed or not before we move forward, is we will be very explicit about whether or not we believe that the actions taken from this recommendation should be completed before a next round is opened. And we'll be very specific and support our particular recommendation in that space. And then at that point, it becomes, you know, up to the community to review and decide whether they agree or disagree with us. So is that helpful?
Yeah, that is helpful. So basically, in a sense, it's retrospective. You're looking at what you've already commented on and to see how that was or was not followed. Thank you.
And also potentially what we did not. If we, for example, in the work that Rod is doing, if we look at the whatever kind of namespace collision, whatever, there might be some things that we now see that we should have commented on but didn't. But we also hear the reason why we do that kind of list is also that we see other communities do similar things. So hopefully it is possible in the future to sort of aggregate or even see whether we have different views on certain issues and that needs to. Those are typical examples that probably should be addressed with so we limit the amount of stress if it is the case that we're moving into next round. So I think we're out of time. So thank you very much for the time we got.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. And what is the best way, if our members do have input or ideas or thoughts, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with you is to, with us, sorry, with you, with not enough coffee, is either to contact any of us ESSAC members. That's the absolute easiest way, and that's why I'm so happy to have so many ESSAC members here. But the formal way is by having you contact our the head of our staff, the executive director, Julie Hedlund, waving back there back in the back. So that is sort of the more formal connection between our two groups.
And by the way, Julie did send me the slides. I did have them. They were forwarded on, so I apologize. But I think it was great to have this opportunity a little bit more interactive than what we normally do. So thank you so much. Thank you guys for all coming. We appreciate it. Yeah. Now, I don't want to jinx us, but this may be the first time we're actually running ahead of schedule. We did allow some final time for sort of final board prep, but I think we got through what we wanted to get through. Oh, is a bicycle in here? But let me open it up again. Are there other things you want to make sure that we really emphasize with the board in terms of either the top risks or going through our hot topics? And Tony, Greg, anything you want to make sure that we particularly position? Are there any other topics that people would like to cover? Normally we don't finish this quickly, and normally we're scrambling, and we're not today, which is pleasant. Are there any other topics that folks would like to bring? Yes, Greg.
Not quite a topic, but I just wanted to mention for those of you who may not have expected to see me at the front of the room, as
Obviously, the IPC knows that an election took place, and it's Christina Rosette who gave, you know, incredible service to the intellectual property constituency for the last several years, stepped down, and we had an election. Steve Metallitz was acting as acting president, as our vice president under the bylaws until we had that election. We had two fantastic candidates, in myself and Brian Winterfeld, and as of 1:38 in the morning, Singapore time on Sunday, I am the president of the intellectual property constituency, which is,
Steve, Tony.
Well, I've got something I'd like to do here, as we've got a few minutes, and that is from all of us to thank three people in particular, and that is Greg, Steve, and Wolf, who are really the focal points for all of the work that's going on with regards to IANA transition. I know that they're incredibly busy carrying the load for all of us, and I'd like to ask a question both ways. I'd like to ask the three of them how they feel about the way we are, as a stakeholder group, providing them the steer that they require, whether that's working or if there's anything we need to improve upon. And I'd also like to ask anyone who's a member of any of the three constituencies how they feel about the interaction back to those three people from our side. So I think it would be helpful to get some views, probably starting with the three people in the frame, to know whether they feel we're giving them the support and we're able to respond in the manner and time frame that that role requires. Greg, maybe you could start.
I'll start. I certainly feel like I am getting the support I need. I feel like I need to do a better job of communicating back the activities of the CWG. I see Steve Del Bianco's reports that I think set a very good model, short, crisp, timely. There's so much to frequent. There's so much to report, and if you get bogged down in the details, you could spend, you know, 20 hours writing a report. So I do want to do better in terms of that, but clearly, and also to use the email list that was set up called CSG IANA to provide those. We should recirculate the subscription for that, I believe. ISPs were subscribed en masse, but the BC and IPC were given the option to opt in, so the opting is, you know, spotty. So I will use that in the future, and obviously you all know where to find me, and I, you know, certainly would appreciate you know, feedback. And there's a lot going on this week, and you know, it's a very dynamic, fluid situation. So I will keep you apprised, and would certainly be looking for feedback on issues as they come up, especially right now. We've been in kind of the free exchange of discussions mode, but we will really be getting more to the convergence and consensus mode. And at that point, it's really important that I, as your representative, represent the consensus that emerges out of the three constituencies which I have to represent, which I'm honored to represent. And we'll, you know, figure out what to do to the extent that the constituencies may not agree with each other on how to deal with a certain thing. And ultimately, it's going to go to the GNSO Council to approve this report, and that will also pose some interesting challenges down the road. Thanks.
Wolf Ulrich?
Yeah. If I may, Wolf Ulrich speaking. From the from my position on the ISG point of view, I would say what I'm doing as well is, well, I have the lists established, you know, where I'm communicating to. So with regards to the different constituencies here, so and I do it myself as well in this way as Greg Shatton was saying. So informing you about what's going on the ICG, and in case I keep it that way, in case there is no reaction on that, I keep it as support, as non-objection. So, and I encourage all the others as well, as Steve and Greg Shatton, who are asking us as well to engage more and more sometimes, so to keep it that way. Because otherwise, you get in coming doubts, you know, what's going on. So and are you going the right way? Personally, I'm sometimes in a position when I get questions from Steve and Greg, I take it this way. I see it that way. So I should answer to that because it's important, yeah. But sometimes it's not possible. So it's not of timing point issues because of timing issues. And I see that from other people as well that they have time problems with that. I put it on my folder, which is the to-dos, yes, but this folder is going to be filled up with much to be done, yeah? And that's a problem. So the point is then, and I see these meetings here at ICANN as the most important ones to communicate between us and between Steve, myself, and Greg Shetton and the community members, in order to focus on the issues. So rather than to do it on the over the time on the list. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolforich. Steve Del Bianco, did you also want to provide your thoughts and feedback in terms of how you think it's going? Can Steve get the mic?
Hi, Steve Del Bianco in the BC and the CSG rep on the CCWG for accountability. I send you all frequent reports, and as Greg indicated, I try to keep them short with a lot of hyperlinks and attached documents. I haven't said the words at the top of an email, critical words in all uppercase called last call. And if you see me put those words in there, it's because we're in the final stretch of auditing and editing a draft and approving it for consensus. So other than that, they're intermediate reports. That doesn't mean that I want you to ignore them and stick them in the spam folder, but if you have 15 minutes, you can usually zero in on what it is in my email I'm asking you to look at. I'll say, in particular attention, please look at this clause, or I'll put it in red or highlight it. That gives you an opportunity to dedicate no more than 15 minutes giving us a response. I have to give a lot of shout-out to the folks in the ISP, IPC, and BC who on Sunday, I think it was, or Saturday night, responded within 3 or 4 hours to some critical items on stress tests that we're going to apply. All three constituencies gave me really substantive inputs and markup. Greg gave me an extensive number of comments. It was almost an embarrassment of riches because I had to spend several hours trying to sort out all of your conflicting advice on what to put into the comments. But that's the kind of response that we live for. It makes it feel like it's really worthwhile to put the time in that we are. And glad to receive any other input either here or after the meeting. Thanks.
Steve, Tony?
I was just going to add that aware of the demands from this and the fact that you've all been involved in some of these meetings that take place, the Frankfurt meetings. And it crossed my mind, there's a lot of dialogue goes on at those meetings, and maybe either before or after when those sessions are arranged, may be helpful to think about having a CSG-wide call, either to get input from us or to bring us up to date after, because as you know better than anybody, tracking this stuff across the mailing list, it's one hell of a task, and I think we are not carrying everyone with us currently, so maybe a quick call might help with that.
Tony, this is Steve Del Bianco again. Tony, right after Frankfurt, I sent something out with the outcomes of Frankfurt. What I neglected to do to say I'm available for a call if you'd like to have one, and I believe an ISP call would be appropriate. Maybe a BC call could be separate because we might cover it on our own. I'll do that, and please know that there's a standing offer that if you want to have a call, we can do that. I also wanted to encourage you to probably ignore the CCWG mailing list. There's very little of meaningful progress and substance that happens on those spiral out of control debates you see. The real work is done in those who hold the pen and draft the documents and move the documents through work parties and work teams who specifically edit and move them slowly toward consensus. A lot of times the mailing list goes off into a tangent that really leads to nothing because it's somewhat easy for people to respond to an email. It's much harder for them to actually read a document and edit, but the real work is done in the documents, not so much the mail list.
Just to come back on that, that was exactly my fear, Steve, because I know that we're losing people because they look at these mailing lists and the volume is too much to start with. The content isn't that great. And we lose them along the way. So we have to have other ways of making sure that they're engaged. Otherwise, the worry is we get to the end of this process, you're going to give us the final call, and people are going to say, hang on a minute, we're not even on the same page. So it's keeping them all engaged that's the critical thing.
Any feedback for either Greg, Wolf Orich, or Steve? I, too, would like to thank all three of them. It's just I know it's been a tremendous, tremendous amount of work and an excellent, excellent job, and we all appreciate it. Any other? Steve?
Yeah, this is Steve Metallitz with the IPC. Before we adjourn, I just wanted to thank Elisa and the rest of the BC. We rotate the leadership of this setting up all these meetings and agendas during the ICANN meetings, and I think this was very well organized. The agendas were out in advance, and we've kept to the time. So I just want to thank Elisa personally, and also the others in the BC for that.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure working with everyone. Yes, I see Heather's hand. Oh, I don't want to throw. Oh. Well, thank you so much. Let's see, do we have a comment from Heather? Yeah.
Thank you. Heather Forrest, and very quickly, but it's complimentary, so it's worth the wait. I wanted to say I found particularly helpful the BC's document that combined the CSG agendas. Not only is it useful to have that information, but it was set out, picking up on the point that Tony just raised, it was set out in a very clear way, and the ICANN normal schedule is really increasingly less clear. So kudos to you guys. You've set a high bar for the next folks to live up to.
Oh, but
thank you for that.
Yeah,
super
no,
useful
I'm glad.
Document.
I'm glad. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to working with everyone, especially our newest member, Greg. So thank you. And so we're now in Pedang, and the meeting starts at 11:15, and we should try to be starting right at 11:15. So thank you, everyone.
Also, IPC members who think they can leave stuff and return here, there is a meeting in between, so you can't.
I get to drink.